Good morning, folks. Okay, Hebrews 3. This is a fairly long passage, but bear with me, right? And if you want a wee clue, the title today is Deceived. So see if you can spot that in the passage here. Hebrews 3, starting at verse 1. My Christian friends, who have been called by God, think of Jesus, whom God sent to be the high priest of the faith we profess. He was faithful to God, who chose him to do his work. Just as Moses was faithful in his work in God's house. A man who builds a house receives more honor than the house itself. In the same way, Jesus is worthy of much greater honor than Moses. Every house, of course, is built by someone, and God is the one who has built all things. Moses was faithful in God's house as a servant, and he spoke of the things that God would say in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son in charge of God's house. We are his house if we keep our courage and our confidence in what we hope for. So then, as the Holy Spirit says, if you hear God's voice today, do not be stubborn as your ancestors were when they rebelled against God, as they were that day in the desert when they put him to the test. There they put me to the test and tried me, says God, although they had seen what I did for 40 years. And so I was angry with those people and said, they are always disloyal and refuse to obey my commands. I was angry and made a solemn promise. They will never enter the land where I would have given them rest. My friends, be careful that none of you have a heart so evil and unbelieving that you will turn away from the living God. Instead, in order that none of you be deceived by sin and become stubborn, you must help one another every day, as long as the word today in the scriptures applies to us. For we are all partners with Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at the beginning. This is what the scripture says. If you hear God's voice today, do not be stubborn as your ancestors were when they rebelled against God. So, I'd like to focus on that wee bit from the passage. One particular wee bit, because it affects our lives every day. And it's that verse 13. In order that none of you be deceived by sin and become stubborn, you must help one another every day. So, that means that every day we need to help each other. And help each other to do what? To not be deceived by sin. And why? Because being deceived, we would turn stubborn. So, deception is powerful, and it can greatly affect our lives. Lies are all around us. Deception is a strong weapon used against Christians, and we should help each other to conquer it. Deception's not a new problem. In fact, let's go back to the beginning. What was it that Eve said in Genesis 3:13? The snake tricked me into eating it. Actually, I prefer the language in the King James for this one. It says, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. So, to get a wee bit linguistic about this, Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, entry H5377, has this word nashaw, or something like that. And it means to lead astray, to delude, to seduce, to beguile, to deceive. Okay? Nasho. That's the only bit of Hebrew that we'll do today, right? Right. Deception is everywhere. Other people can deceive you. You can also deceive yourself. In fact, the Old Testament talks about this self-deception. And when, right, I've got a quote from Obadiah. Hey, I don't often quote from Obadiah. In fact, I'm not even sure I ever have, right? And it's where God talks to the nation of Edom, right? Obadiah 1:2. The Lord says to Edom, I will make you weak. Everyone will despise you. Your pride has deceived you. Your capital is a fortress of solid rock. Your home is high in the mountains. And so you say to yourself, who can ever pull me down? Right? That's God talking to the nation of Edom. And there's another version of the same story. Jeremiah 49:16 once again says, your pride has deceived you. And it goes on a wee bit, gives a wee bit more detail. It says, no one fears you as much as you think they do. So that's God talking to Edom. And that's all about pride deceiving us. But how about money deceiving us? Matthew 13, verse 22, and Mark in chapter 4, talks about the deceitfulness of riches. And that's in the passage about the sower, sowing seed, right? And actually, the Passion Translation translates it slightly differently. It doesn't say the deceitfulness of riches. It says the seduction of wealth. And it talks about how the seduction of wealth can choke God's word in some people's heart. Right. So what's the effect of deception? It's to rob us of full life. Our lives can become empty because we've been deceived. Ephesians 4, that chapter talks about new life that the believers should put on. And it says in Ephesians 4:17, so with the wisdom given to me from the Lord, I say, you should not live like unbelievers around you who walk in their empty delusion. Empty delusion. Later, verse 22, it talks more about delusions. It talks about, he has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self-life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusion. That whole Ephesians 4 chapter tells us a lot about how to overcome deception. And it talks about a level of honesty. Honesty with ourselves, honesty with God, honesty with others. And it's that honesty that's the key to breaking the deception. Verse 23 in Ephesians 4. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you, and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life, and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness, and now you belong to him in the realm of true holiness. So, discard every form of dishonesty and lying so that you will be known as one who always speaks the truth. For we all belong to one another. So, honesty overcomes deceit. That's fundamental. And it applies to deceit from others. Don't believe a liar. But it also applies to self-deceit. Don't believe the old self when it's telling us lies. And that's the one that's hardest to spot. At home over the last couple of weeks, we've been getting phone calls from someone claiming to be from British Telecom and telling us that our internet connection has been compromised. Now, it's not BT who supplies our internet. Actually, BT can't. But so it was easy to spot the fact that they were liars. So I've hung up on them quite often, quite quickly, without being absolutely rude. But that was easy to spot, right? There were all the clues there, you know. It wasn't hard to see that this was a scam. It's a lot harder to spot lies when it's our old self whispering in our ear. You know this sort of thing. The thought that might be lurking at the back of your mind. God doesn't love you. You're a failure. You can't overcome that sin. God's forgotten all about you. Jesus has left you on your own. The Holy Spirit isn't alive in you. Your lifestyle proves that you're not a Christian. Yes, most of us have had those thoughts at some time. There are some fundamental, some basic truths about God, and those truths are the target for most of the lies, most of the deception that the enemy wants to attack you with. The enemy wants you to doubt the truth about God so that it weakens you. So, as a Christian, God is your true father. He's not a mean father. He's not a reluctant father. He's a father who loves you with a love that's unlimited. That's fundamental truth. Jesus died to save you from your sin. That's fundamental truth. The Holy Spirit enables you to do wonderful things. Those are all truths. They're real, they're deep. They're meaningful truths, and they give life, they give power. Holding on to those truths is where the honesty comes in that can overcome the lies. Don't let yourself be deceived out of those truths. The thing that the enemy would like to deceive you out of is this fundamental truth about God's character, God's love, God's ability to take care of you, God's willingness to reach out and lift you up regardless of what you've done. Those are the things that the enemy wants to deceive you out of. So, the enemy is telling us these lies. And what do we mean by the enemy there? Who is it that tries to deceive Christians? I think there are four sources of these lies. First one, the world, right? The political, the economic, the social systems of the world don't want you to know the truth. They would rather you see them as all-powerful, as the only place to go for help. So there are lies and deceptions coming from politicians, business leaders, social media influencers, so on. We need to be very careful to identify lies and truth, no matter what the source of information we use is. Now, fake news is quite a new term and it's overused. But the truth is, lies have been around since the fall of mankind. So, the second source of deception is Satan, or the devil, or Baal, or whatever term you want to use for the personification of evil. Actually, I quite like the term old dirty boots because it puts him in his place. Jesus makes it quite clear that all lies are actually rooted in the devil. John 8:44 says, "He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." The Passion Translation has that as, "He is a master of deception and the father of lies." So, whenever you detect lies of any kind, beware that the devil is at the back of it somewhere. Any kind of deception has something very evil at its core. Another source of deception might be demons. The Bible talks quite a bit about demons, and the idea is that they are servants who do the devil's work. And we can easily picture that part of that work is whispering his lies. But also, let's not give demons too much attention. I'd far rather put attention on God. And the last source of deception that I'll mention today is probably one that bothers each of us most often. It's ourselves. Or rather, it's our old selves. The Bible presents this as that bit of my character which hasn't yet been transformed by the renewing work of the Holy Spirit. The new man is constantly renewing in his own image in order to bring you a full knowledge of himself. But there's still some bits of the old man which hasn't yet been renewed into God's image. That's the bit of me which whispers those wee lies. That quote about renewing is from Colossians 3, and it talks a lot about the old man and the new man. And the whole chapter is worth a read. And that idea of old man and new man ties in with the idea of new birth, right? Being born again. And the new birth is birth into truth. The old man lives in lies. I'd suggest that most of the lies and the deception that pass through our minds come from our old selves. Sometimes we'd like to blame the devil or demons, but often it's just our old evil nature. Our background, the things that we have said about ourselves, or curses that somebody else has said over us. These are the things that cause us to hear wee lies. So, if you've ever heard yourself thinking, "God can't love me because of something," or "I can't change," those are lies caused by your old self. "I'm trapped in this. I can't stop doing this. I can't help it." Or even, "I've never been any good at something." That's your old self talking to you. And you don't need to listen to it. Your old self is old, and it's no longer important, right? E.W. Tozer, who wrote some really interesting books, he has a lovely wee book entitled "I Talk Back to the Devil." Great title, right? And in it, he says, it's one of the devil's oldest tricks to discourage the saints by causing them to look back at what they were. But it's often not actually important to identify whether the lie comes from the devil or the old self. It only matters that we see it as a lie and we reject it and replace it with truth that comes from God. That Colossians 3 chapter has a lot of nice practical illustrations and instruction, in fact, about how we encourage the new man and reject the lies of the old man. How about just one quote from it? Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. That's a great way to overcome the deceit. Whenever you hear those lies being sneaked into your head, replace it with something uplifting about God. Even if it's a case of singing to yourself some old children's song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's so childish. But there's an awful lot of truth in it, right? And hanging on to those simple truths, it's a great way to just chase out those lies. So, you're not the only one who's disturbed by thoughts that bring you down. We all are, right? It's slightly and subtly different for each one of us because so much of it comes from our old nature. It can really hit home. Those lies can find our weak spots and they can twist the truth in such a way that it brings us down. But it is deceit, it's lies, it's the serpent beguiling us. So anytime you hear those lies going through your head, recognize them. And think of what happened in Genesis 3:13, where we talk about Eve saying, he beguiled, right? What happened then? God curses the serpent for telling those lies. And he curses it with, because you have done this, you are more cursed than all the livestock, and more than all earth's animals. You'll crawl on your belly and eat dust as long as you live. That's God's curse on the serpent, right? So, the next time your old nature says something to you about you not being a child of God, try just turning round and saying to that old you, in God's name, go and eat dust. Or on your belly, you liar. Right? Challenge it. Put it in its place. And do you know what even Satan's reaction to that was? It's quite dramatic. Let's look at another case. Matthew 4:10, when Jesus is being tempted. Then Jesus answered, go away, Satan. The scripture says, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil left Jesus and angels came and helped him. And it's not just Jesus who can take that approach, but all of God's children can. Lovely wee verse. James 4:7. So then, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will run away from you. That's a lovely image to hold on to. The devil running away from us. Not just being quiet for a minute or two, but taking to his heels and scarpering. And all because the power of the Holy Spirit in us as we follow God. I think this idea of rebuking the liar is part of what's talked about in 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. It is true that we live in the world, But we do not fight from worldly motives. The weapons we use in our fight are not the world's weapons, but God's powerful weapons, with which we destroy strongholds. We destroy false arguments. We pull down every proud obstacle that's raised against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive and make it obey Christ. Let's think for a minute. What does that phrase, take captive, mean? When a Roman soldier took someone captive, they stayed captive. Being captured probably meant that you would spend the rest of your life as a slave, being bought and sold. So that's what Paul's saying about our thought life. These thoughts which bring you down are going to be clapped in irons. God's going to put a guard on them, and he's not going to let them out to pester you in the future. Hold on to the truth which God says. And any time you find your mind wandering into that territory where thoughts doubt God, just remind them that those thoughts are God's prisoner. And your old self isn't some sort of Spartacus, some slave that escapes. It might think it is, and it might make a lot of noise, and it might claim to have lots of pals. But with God's help, your new self has your old self completely under control. So your deceiver has no real power. After you give your life to Jesus, God is your Father, and that's the truth. Hold on to that real truth, even if there's some wee rat whispering in your ear. That old self, your old thought life, might make noise, but he's crawling along in chains. And that's the sort of picture to hang on to. Right. The passage about the devil being the father of all lies, it's in the same chapter as a verse that shows us how to counter all this deception, how to battle against it. John 8:30, many who heard Jesus say these things believed in him. So Jesus said to those who believed in him, if you obey my teachings, you're really my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So it's in believing and obeying Jesus that we know the truth, and it's the truth that sets us free from lies. It's the relationship with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that breaks any control that deception has over you. If you hear any lies, let the voice of Jesus overcome them. Whenever you hear that whispering of lies in your ears or in your head, put the true words of the Bible in their place. Even if it means turning off the TV, putting on a recording of worship music, humming your favourite chorus, let your heart and head be filled with the truth about God and the truth about his love for you, rather than any of the lies of the enemy. Right. I previously quoted from Colossians 3, and I would say, read that chapter. It's good, and it talks a lot about the old man, the new man. Matthew Henry's commentary, when talking about the new life, says, our whole being will be revolutionized. Old things will have passed away. Tastes, desires, ways of looking at the world, memories, habits, pricks of conscience, and all cords that bound us to our God-forgetting past. And all things will have become new because we ourselves move in the midst of the old things as new creatures with new love burning in our hearts and new motives changing all our lives. And a new aim shining before us, and a new hope illuminating the blackness beyond, and a new song on our lips, and a new power in our hands, and a new friend by our side. There's another passage that talks about the new man, and that's Ephesians 4, and I quoted from that earlier. Ephesians 4, from verse 17, is full of direct instructions about don't do this, don't do that. Incredibly clear instructions and warnings about our lifestyles. And in the middle of it is this. So, get rid of your old self, which made you live as you used to. The old self that was being destroyed by its deceitful desires. And then, you must put on the new self, which is created in God's likeness and reveals itself in the true life that's upright and holy. I'd suggest read all of that Ephesians 4 passage from verse 17. It couldn't be clearer about what putting on the new man really means in our day-to-day lives. And I love verse 27 that simply says, don't give the devil a chance. Okay, let me go back to that main verse for today, Hebrews 3:13. In order that none of you be deceived by sin and become stubborn, you must help one another every day. There's another bit of good advice in there. And that idea is that we can help each other not be deceived. So, if you've got a wee voice in your head telling you things that aren't true, and if you can't get rid of it, then talk to another Christian friend. Chances are they've gone through something very similar. And they might be able to give you a more true image of yourself to hang on to. Find somebody you trust, somebody who knows you well, and talk to them about it. They might be able to bring a truth where you're believing a lie about yourself. You might be thinking something like, oh, I'm helpless. And they can bring home the truth that you are loved and appreciated. The Bible talks about there being safety and multitude of counselors. So sometimes it's good to talk to somebody else. Now, there might even be rare occasions if one of your friends keeps saying things that bring them down, then there might be an occasion where it's appropriate to confront that. If a friend is pulling themselves down by believing lies, then please carefully challenge them and as gently as possible bring them truth. Now, I'm saying those are rare occasions. And absolutely, this is not an excuse to widely try and go and correct other people's views. Because that's not going to work. We're all different people. We all have different social outlooks, different politics, so on. But if somebody is living under a lie about themselves, a lie that undermines themselves, their characters, their relationships, their abilities, then gently reminding them of who they really are can be the key to release them. Remind them that they are a child of God. They are beloved of the Father. They're led by the Holy Spirit. They are being changed into the likeness of Christ. Okay, finally, and let's do this as the worship leaders come back through. It's okay. Ricky's on it. Thank you, sir. Right. As they're coming back through, let's just take a minute to actually think of some examples of where we've got lies living in our heads. Right? Let's take a few minutes to listen to our own thoughts, to take captive any thoughts that are not true. Let's think of the lies that we hear about ourselves most often. It's probably different for every one of us. And you may never have heard any of these things I might suggest, but you might be living with some other little thing going on in your head, a little whisper that just brings you down. That is that old man whispering in your head. So, what kind of things might be going on in your head? What kind of thoughts might you want to take captive? Let's just take a minute or two, nice and quiet, and let me suggest some thoughts that you might want to take captive. And I've got a list of maybe a dozen here. And these are thoughts that might be going on in your head, and the truth from the Bible that counters it, that knocks it out of the park. So, just close your eyes in prayer. Ask God to combat the lies that might be in your head. Counter the lies with truth. So, if you've got that thought of, nobody loves me, counter it with, God loves me. If you're thinking, I'm ugly, the truth is, I'm wonderfully made. Psalm 139. If you're thinking, I'm useless, then Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. If you're thinking, I'm abandoned, the truth is, I'm adopted as God's child. If you're thinking, I'm alone, God is with me, says Isaiah 41. I'm overwhelmed. Counter that with, God has overcome the world. If you're thinking, I'm weak, God's power is perfect in my weakness. If you're thinking, I can't find God, then Deuteronomy 4:29 says, God promises I'll find him when I seek him. If you're thinking, I'm tired, Isaiah 40 has, God will renew my strength. If you're thinking, I'm confused, God will advise me, it says in Psalm 32. If you're thinking, I'm falling, Psalm 37 says, even if I stumble, God upholds me with his hand. If you're thinking, I'm worthless, Zechariah 2 verse 8 says, I am the apple of God's eye. If you're thinking, I'm worried about the future, then Jeremiah 29 says, God knows his plans for me, plans for prosperity and not disaster. And as a last one, if you're thinking, I'm hopeless, Titus 3:7 says, I have the hope of eternal life. So, Father God, we thank you for the truth there is in your word. And Lord, help us to rebuke the voice of the enemy. Help us to replace those negative thoughts with the positive thoughts of just what a great God you are. Father, be with us every time we hear that little whisper. help us to put it back in its place, to tell it to go and eat dust. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.